I want you to open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Lord willing, next Wednesday night we'll get back with our study on the life of Christ. And hopefully next week, that's what I'm shooting for. But I want to share something with you tonight that I think will help you tremendously. Trust it will. And I want you to look, please, at Philippians chapter 4, beginning in the 5th verse. Philippians chapter 4, and beginning in verse 5. Paul is concluding this book, and he writes to the church here, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now I want you to notice that. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your," number one, "hearts and your mind." Your heart and your mind. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." I want to speak to you tonight, taking these verses, and give you a little Bible study tonight on this subject. Get it in your heart. Get it in your heart. And let's pray together. Now, our Father, we just thank you so much for the Bible. And Lord, we know that every verse and every word is inspired from heaven. And Lord, we do not have to speculate tonight whether this passage of Scripture that we read is truth. We know it is. It came from you. And all Scripture is profitable. And so, Lord, I pray that you will help us tonight to be enlightened and encouraged and strengthened, that, Lord, we will be instructed in righteousness, and that you will just use the message tonight to help us to get a little better understanding of how we are to approach the Christian life, that, Lord, our thinking processes might be what they ought to be. And, Lord, I pray that you will use the challenge tonight in a special way, that, Lord, you know every need in this room. You know just exactly where this needs to be applied to every heart. And so I pray that your Holy Spirit will apply the Word of God tonight, that it might bring forth much fruit in our hearts. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Now bless the preaching of thy Word tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want you to notice in verse 8, there is a little word that is near the end of this verse. And the little word that I want to call to your attention is the word think. Think. Now, I think it's important that we understand that this little word means a whole lot more than what we attribute it to mean. This word think does not mean just to, you know, let it go through your mind. It means to dwell upon it. It means to concentrate. It means to focus. It means to meditate upon. I have said to you on a number of occasions that nowhere in the Bible are we told to read the Bible. Now that may shock you, but that's the truth. The Bible does not command us to read the Bible. Now you say, oh, well, Revelation 1:3 promises a blessing to those who do read the Bible, but it's not a commandment to read the Bible. You say, well, then why do we read? Should we read the Bible? Well, you should read the Bible because the Scripture commands us to meditate on the Scriptures. It commands us to study the Scriptures. It commands us to learn the Scriptures. And in order to do all these things, you have to think. And it does not mean just to sit down and just, you know, see speed read the Bible. It means to sit down and to read and then to meditate, ponder, to think about what you read. Now, I want to speak to you tonight on having the right kind of thinking processes. Now, let me make a statement or two, and hopefully this will launch us into the message. I want you to go back to verse 7. And notice, Paul said here, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to notice here that we have two things that are mentioned. We have hearts, and then we have mind. Or let's make it singular. We have the heart, and we have the mind. Now, when the Bible here is talking about the heart, it's not talking about this thing in your chest that beats and keeps a rhythm and pumps your blood. That's not what is being spoken of here. The heart is the Bible term for it is synonymous with your soul, with who you are, with the seat of your life, the seat of your emotions. And let me make a couple statements here. Understand this. God has given us the ability to think with our mind, and then God has given us the ability to think with our hearts. Two different things. They're not the same thing. If they were the same thing, then Paul would not have put the conjunction and between the two words. He would have somehow or another connected them together as being the same thing. But God has enabled us to think with our mind, and then God has enabled us to think with our heart. The mind in the Bible is the term describing the intellectual center of a person. You remember back when you went to school. And you had a class, and the teacher said that you're going to have a test on this material, and so you studied that material and you learned it and you got it in your head. That's how we used to say it. You got it in your head. Now, think back. Just go back in your mind. I know that's a long trip for some folks, but just go back in your mind when you were in school, And, you know, you spent, what, 7-8 hours a day in school? And by the way, for some of you that are here tonight, remember back when you went to school, do you think they would have ever canceled school because it was too hot outside? No, I chuckled when I heard that today. I thought, man, I could see Miss Kermeens right now saying, what? No, my class is not going home just because it's too hot. No way. But anyway, go back in. You were there, what, 12 years? Some of you, 13 years. You were there 12 years, and you were in school for 7-8 hours a day, and they didn't have 4 recesses and 9 play times and all that when you went to school. You were under instruction from the time you got there until you went home. And so here you were. Now you were in all this stuff. And let me ask you, how many of you remember everything they taught you in school? No, you don't. Not everything. You see, some of it went in your mind, and some of it went in your heart. Some of it went into your innermost being, and you remember it still today. My second grade teacher was Mrs. Kermeens. And that was, without a doubt, the meanest woman that God ever put in the state of West Virginia. I mean, she tolerated nothing, no foolishness whatsoever. Needless to say, I stayed in a little chair beside her desk. I spent a lot of time in a chair right by her desk. And so I had to pay attention. And you know, I look back on Mrs. Kermeens, and you probably would do the same thing for whoever was the strictest and in your mind the meanest teacher that you had. That you learned more under that instruction than you did under anybody else. And I look back at Mrs. Kermeens' class and realize and remember so many things, even though it was the second grade. Now, granted, most of the things I remember, there was enforcement for me to remember. You remember when you used to get the milk in the little bottles? Back in the day, they had little bottles, little laid-ounce bottles. Well, we were playing ball one day, and the ball went back by the dumpster, and I ran back to get it. And you know, they threw all those bottles in that dumpster. Yeah, every one of them. And I said, hey, guys, come on. And we lined up all the bottles, and man, we were throwing rocks at them. We had a pile of glass, you know. I turned around, and there was Mrs. Kermeen standing there looking over those glasses, patting her foot on the floor. Whew, man, did it thunder that afternoon. You know, there's a lot of things I remember that had enforcement behind them. But nonetheless, you didn't remember everything you learned in school, but some of the stuff got in your heart. It got in your innermost being. And to this day, you can remember some of the things that you transferred from your mind into your heart. Now, so the mind and the heart are not the same thing. The heart is the center of a man's emotional makeup. Now, let me illustrate the point. You know Romans 10:9. You understand that verse. It's a very familiar verse of Scripture. But the Bible here says in this passage that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart. Exactly. Not mind. Not mind. Folks, a lot of people believe with their mind the facts of salvation. They have what we refer to as a head knowledge of the Bible. But there is a world of difference between the head knowledge and the heart knowledge. Billy Sunday used to say most people are going to miss heaven by about 18 inches, the difference from your head to your heart. And there's a lot of truth to that. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And there are a lot of people who have a head knowledge of Christ, but what we need is a heart knowledge of Christ. Now, in the 10th verse of Romans 10, it goes on to say that it is with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. So there's a vast difference between the heart and the mind. In Matthew 22, in verse 27, Jesus saith unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. So the heart and the mind are not the same thing. They're not the same thing. Now, if they were the same thing, then Jesus would not have used them both in the same sentence. Now, here's the message, folks. Here's what I want you to understand. The Bible says in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It does not say as a man thinketh in his mind. The truth of the matter is your mind is thinking all the time, whether you realize it or not. You say, well, I'm daydreaming. Well, you might be, but you're still thinking. But as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, I've said to you oodles of times in the last 10 years, you are what you have been becoming. Man, I wish you'd get that. I wish our young people would get this. I wish our young married couples would get this. I wish our young men that have access to the internet would get this. I wish that you young ladies that have free afternoons and you sit there and watch as the stomach turns every afternoon. I wish you would get this. You are what you have been becoming. Now, I told you a couple weeks ago, nobody, and I mean nobody, falls in the sin. I've heard people, oh, you need to pray for brother so-and-so. He fell into sin. No, he didn't. Nobody falls into sin. You go into sin one step at a time. And by the time somebody has, boom, fallen down in the pit, you can just mark it down. There's been a long journey that has led them to where they fell into the precipice. A long journey. You are what you have been becoming. And so notice what Paul says in the 8th verse here. Paul says, here are some things I want you to think about. Here's some things that will help you as a Christian because you are what you have been becoming. Now, I dare say that every one of us in this room tonight, I mean, good night, it's Wednesday night, it's a beautiful evening, and it's Wednesday night, and you're all here. Thank God for that. But let me tell you something, folks. I think everybody in this room wants to say, or would say, I want to be a good Christian. I want to please God with my life. I want God's blessing and God's hand. I want to be used of the Lord. I want that peace that passes understanding that Paul spoke about in the 7th verse. Well, let me tell you how to get there. It's really not complicated. The way to get there is to think on the right things. You see, it's sort of like a discipline that you establish in your life, where you are purposely thinking about the right kinds of things so that you can ultimately get to where you want to be. And once you get your thoughts straight and your thinking straight, and you get the right kind of thoughts that go from your mind to your heart, when you get to the place where you are thinking on the right thing and you're thinking the right kind of thoughts that are transferred from the mind to the heart, for once it's in your heart, that's the kind of person you're going to be. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what we want to do is learn how we can think the right way so that we can become what God wants us to become. And I think we can learn that from this passage of Scripture. Now, let me start right here tonight. Number one, you get something from your mind, which is just your intellectual center. You get something from your mind to your heart by dwelling upon it. Does that make sense to you? You get something from just passively going through your mind to your innermost being, to becoming you and how you think and how you act and what you are. You get something from your mind to your heart by thinking about it, by dwelling upon it. Did you ever hear anybody make this statement? Or maybe you made it yourself. I'm sure you have. But you said, man, the more I think about that, the madder I get. Why have you never heard anybody say, boy, you know, the more I think about that, the happier I get? You ever wonder that? The more I think about that, the happier I get. No, our old sinful natures don't, we don't work that way, do we? The more you think about something, let me say it this way. The more you think about something, the more that thing gets rooted in your heart. Let me illustrate. Do you remember, guys, when you fell in love with your wife? Okay, go way back in the recesses of your mind now and drag this one out, all right? You remember when you fell in love with your wife? And how did that transpire? How did that happen? Well, somebody introduced you, or you met somewhere, or somehow or another. You started talking. You then asked her out, and she said yes, and so you sat and you talked and you fellowshiped back and forth. You got to know her, she got to know you. Then you went home and you got on the telephone and you sat on the telephone and you talked on the telephone for hour on end. That intern we got, 901, buddy, he's right there on the telephone, that girl down in Tennessee. It's the beatenest thing I've ever seen. Every night, 901, he's got that telephone stuck to his ear. 901, that's when his free minutes kicks in. And 901, boy, he starts on that telephone. And it's 11:15, 12 o'clock every night. He come down the steps the other night and I said, stop. He turned around and I said, what in the world have you been talking about for all these hours on that telephone? And he just grins and turns red in the face. And he said, you mean you didn't used to do that? I said, never mind, go ahead, just go on through, pass on through. Of course we did. You remember those days. And you spent hour upon hour on the telephone. And every waking moment you thought about that individual. I mean, that's the only thing that occupied your mind. All you could see was her smile. All you could see were her eyes. That's all that occupied every waking moment of your day. You went to bed at night thinking about her. You woke up in the morning thinking about her. And finally, one day you went down and you bought the biggest diamond ring you could, the biggest cubic zirconium you could afford. And you then brought it back and you had this whole special evening planned and you held her by the hand and you looked her dead in the eye and you got your deepest voice and you looked at her and you said, honey, I want you to know that I love you with all my mind. Why, she'd have slapped you silly if you'd have said that. She don't want to hear you love her with your mind. She wants to hear that you love her with your heart. And how do you get something from your mind to your heart? You do that by dwelling on it, by thinking about it. And folks, that's exactly how you fell in love with your spouse. What you did was transfer a head knowledge to your heart. You see, folks, there is very little wrong with our relationships that couldn't be straightened out by thinking on the right things. I mean, so many of the marriage messes could be fixed by people just heeding the Word of God and thinking on the right things. It's so vital that our thought processes are up on the right things. So we need to think on the right things. Now, hold your place here and go back to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Everybody follow me so far? Does this make sense to you? Go back to Psalm 119. Look at verse 9. These are also very familiar verses of Scripture. Verse 9. Now look at this carefully now. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Now that's a legitimate question, isn't it? How can we walk right? How can we be pure before God? How can we walk clean, righteous before God? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And he answers it. By taking heed thereto according to thy Word. You want to walk right? Go to the book. With my whole heart, not mine, but with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Folks, the more time you spend in the Word of God, the closer to God you will be. It's a formula that can't go wrong. It's a formula that simply cannot go wrong. I mean, we've got to read the Bible every day of our lives. And the more time you spend in the Bible, you see, when you open the Bible, you open the mind of God. The Bible is not everything God knows, but it's everything God wants us to know about Himself. And the more time you spend in the Bible, you begin to think like God thinks. You see what I'm saying? And listen, the more you read the Bible and the more you get the Bible in you, you're going to find yourself thinking a whole different way than you used to think. I mean, you'll find your temper change. You'll find your thought life change. You'll find your anger will subside. You'll find your bitterness will be gone. I mean, the way to get the mind of God is to get in the Bible. For in the Bible, we have the mind of God. So, thinking that is based on the Word of God is going to help us to keep right with God. In your heart, the Word of God will control your thoughts. It'll control your actions. It'll control your behavior. I mean, the Word of God just works on people's lives. Now go back to Philippians 4. Look at verse 7. Look at this. And the peace of God. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall, what's the next word? Keep. And that's what we want. We don't want our hearts and our minds, our thoughts. We don't want all that just running haywire, just doing what it wants to do and running the show. No, we want the Word of God to control our hearts and our minds. You know, through the years, I've talked with people. And I've tried to help them, you know, husbands and wives come in, you know, and they're at each other's throats and all this stuff, you know, and you sit there and listen to it. And finally you just say, well, I just think it's a sin. Yeah, boy, they look at you. What? Yeah, this is, I mean, you got sin in your heart and you got sin in your heart. Man, what you need to do is you just need to confess one to another and pray and ask God to forgive you, and then ask one another to forgive. Well, I can't ask for forgiveness. Well, I'm just not made that way. I said, I know, but you can get that way. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You see what I'm saying? He said, well, I'm just not that way. I know. None of us are that way. But you can get that way. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. As you get this book in you, it starts helping you to know how to think. The peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. In verse 8 and 9, he tells us how to keep our hearts and our minds. And the way we do that is to think on the right things. And then look at verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. So in verse 9, if we do what verse 8 says, we're going to have God's peace. We're just going to have God's peace. Folks, we need to understand that we've all got problems. I mean, we've all got problems. My soul. I got problems. You got problems. John, you got problems. I'm sorry. You know that. I mean, we've all got problems. If there were any perfect people here, then, well, there's not. I mean, there's just not. And we all have things. We all have problems. And all over this building, I mean, I'm speaking tonight to folks that are discouraged. I'm speaking to some that are depressed, and folks with fears, and folks with anxieties, and folks that are just miserable. I'm preaching to folks that have had your heart broken through the years. You just sit here tonight with a broken heart. I mean, I'm preaching to folks that have bitterness in their heart. There's probably somebody here that's got anger in your heart, and it just goes on and on and on and on. But brethren, let me tell you something. There is not a problem that you have, but what changing your thought processes and just getting the thoughts of God flowing in your heart, your problems could be solved. I don't mean that you're going to be just totally eradicated of everything tomorrow. I'm not saying that, neither is God. But what I am saying is that no matter what you and I have to face, there is a solution for it in the Word. God knew what we as sinners were going to have to deal with.
And he gave us everything we need in the book. I know there are some folks that have medical problems, and I understand that. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about those of us that let sin defeat us. We just let sin defeat us. And I'm telling you, there's not one problem that we have, but what changing your thinking processes could not fix the problems that we face. Now, second thing, let's look at the recommended guidelines for our thinking. Look at verse 8. Paul says, you want the peace of God? You want God to keep your heart and your mind? Well, let me show you what to think on. Verse 8. First of all, whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are true. Now, that kind of throws gossip out the window, doesn't it? You know? That kind of throws gossip out the window. Karen said to me one day, she said, I don't gossip. It's the people I tell stuff to. They're the ones that gossip. No, it doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. Gossip. But you see, there is something that is truth that just begs for our thoughts. God wants us to think on things that are truth. True. John 1:14. The Bible says Jesus was full of grace and truth. John 17:17. Jesus said, sanctify them through truth. Thy word is truth. You see, there's just some things that are true, and they're truth, and we need to know the truth. Hey, by the way, the truth will set you free, John 8:32. And the more truth we know, then the more free we become. You say, Pastor, I never have understood that verse. Well, listen, here you are living in sin. You're backslidden. You're saved, but you're not living for the Lord. You're not in the book. You're not faithful to church. You're not growing as a Christian. And you've got sin that is running the show in your life. But then all of a sudden you get under conviction, the Holy Spirit starts to deal with you, and you go to the Bible. And you start learning the truth. All of a sudden, what you're going to find, instead of being bound over here by sin that is keeping you from serving the Lord, you're going to find the truth will set you free. The truth breaks those chains that are holding you, sets me free. Free to do what? Free to serve God. Free to grow. Free to live for the Lord. But you got to get in the truth. The truth will set you free. Second thing he said here. I got to hurry here. We won't get done. I know. What else is new? Whatsoever things are true. Number two, whatsoever things are honest. Honorable. Whatsoever things are honorable. You know, there are just some things that are, you know, there's an awful lot of sneakiness about us, you know. Sneakiness about us. Well, Paul said, think on things that are honest. By the way, you don't get any more true than the Lord Jesus Christ, and you don't get any more honest than the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you kind of see the underlying theme of what Paul's saying here? Think on the Lord. Put your thoughts on the Lord. The third one, whatsoever things are just. Now, these are things righteous. Things righteous, as in the eyes of God. That kind of throws soap operas out, doesn't it? I mean, afternoon and evening soap operas. And that kind of throws out this junk that's coming out of Hollywood. You say, well, there you go again. That's exactly right, folks. You don't realize that as you think in your heart, that's what you are. And if you sit around and you watch all this garbage on TV and you let that, and that comes out of Hollywood, that garbage is eventually going to get in your mind, and what goes in is going to work its way out. You are what you have been becoming. I think that this is one of the reasons that there is so much divorce and so much adultery and so much humanistic thinking today is simply because we have too many people that have been raised in front of the television set, and they're just like mind-numbed robots sitting there taking in everything that Hollywood and the networks and HBO and all the rest of them pour into their minds.
Amen.
And you are what you have been becoming. You fill your mind with that kind of life and that kind of lifestyle. I mean, listen, you're thinking on the wrong things. And what we need to do is realize that Paul said we're to think on that which is just. You know, I'm amazed. I'm just amazed. Who cares? Who cares when you get down to it? Who cares who Tom Cruise is divorcing this week? I don't. Do you? If you do, there's something spiritually wrong in your life. You ought to be concerned with what God has to say to you. And the way to find out what God has to say is to turn that box off and turn this one wide open and read what God has to say. Folks, I don't care how many years you've been saved, you're never going to exhaust this book. You'll never exhaust it. And there's so much that God has to teach you every time you open the Bible. Too many Christians have got more interest in Hollywood and in the Hollywood harlots and starlets than they do in heaven. You shouldn't care what those people are doing. My soul, whenever they speak on the presidential election, there's a microphone stuck in their face. Like their opinion is truth. It's not, folks. That's truth right there. And we need to get back to the Bible and quit letting Hollywood tell us how to live our lives. Well, I better get off that one. I never will get off of that. D, or four. The next one. Whatsoever things are pure. The Greek word here is where we get our English word stainless. Stainless. If something is stainless steel, that means that it won't rust and it won't corrupt and you can't put a mark on it. It's stainless. It's pure. And our thoughts should be of the type that don't leave a stain on our lives. You remember reading over, I just read it the other morning. You remember reading over there where Peter was talking about these people that have eyes full of adultery? Eyes full of adultery. That means that they're just always looking with a lustful eye. I mean, that's no way to live your life. Stainless. Stainless. I remember back before I got saved, that gang I used to run around with, we were just always looking for something to get into trouble with. I mean, that was just what occupied our minds. How can we do, you know, what can we do next? What can we do next? You're always just thinking of a way to sin. The next one says, whatsoever things are lovely. Lovely. Think on these things. Whatsoever things are of good report. Isn't it a shame we have to sit around and hash over with our friends everybody's bad reports? We ought to be hashing over everybody's good reports. I mean, instead of sitting on the phone saying, well, he said that she said that they said, we ought to be talking about the souls that have been saved and what we learn from the Word of God. I guarantee you the next time, you know, old Sister Long Tongue or, you know, old Brother Blabber calls you on the phone and says, well, you know what I heard? Wait a minute, before you tell me that, let me tell you what I read this morning in the book of Proverbs. And just read a few verses and start sharing and say, well, you know, really, I think I need to go. Clink. That'll stop that foolishness. You know what I heard? Boy, we can't wait to hear what they heard. I remind you that that's called hearsay. And it doesn't stand up in a court of law. Of course, in America anymore, nothing stands up in a court of law. However, we ought to be talking about the Lord. We ought to be talking about God and what we've learned from God. Prayers that we've had answered. Souls that we've witnessed to. And how we can help someone and encourage someone. Let me tell you something, Christian. You see a teenager that is breaking a mother and a dad's heart, you just remember, but by the grace of God, that could be you having your heart broken. Man, they don't need your criticism. You see, you hear about a couple that are having trouble in their marriage or there's a divorce pending. Don't forget, but by the grace of God, that could be you. You hear about a family and they've lost their job. Be careful. Be careful. Because it could be that you're the next one. You see, I'm saying, God deliver us from thinking and doing the bad, the negative, the divisive, the demeaning. God deliver us from having those thoughts which only hurt somebody else, but don't help somebody else. They don't need your criticism. And in most cases, they don't need your advice. They need your prayer. They need your compassion. And they certainly don't need your opinion, but they do need your love. When someone is down, they need a friend that cares. Someone that has the love of God in their heart. Not someone who's been thinking awful thoughts and gossiping all over Carroll County about them. We need to have the right kind of thoughts. Think on these things. You see, right here is a very real problem that we're seeing in our churches today. A very real problem. Folks, listen, we're just all sinners saved by grace. And every day that you have is a gift from God. Enjoy the things that God has for you. And if you say, well, man, praise the Lord, I don't have any problems. Well, congratulations. But wait a minute, you probably got one about to hit you. So just be ready. And when your problem does hit you, we need to stand there and hold out our arms and say, we're praying for you. We're praying for you. We're here for you. We need some Christians that will weep over the erring one. Lift up the fallen, as the old song goes. Some Christians that will just think on the right things. And who are in tune with God and His Word. And not just totally consumed with bad reports. I like that phrase. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What things? The things that are true, the things that are honest, the things that are just, the things that are pure, the things that are lovely, and the things that are of good report. These are what we need to think on. Christian, if you just purpose in your heart that you're going to start thinking the right kind of thoughts and let God's Word get in your mind and get in your heart. I think I told you this illustration before. I'll tell it to you again. Years ago, I went to Dixie, West Virginia, and candidated for Bell Creek Baptist Church. And when I was junior in college, when I came home to end of my junior year of college, Glenn Matthews was pastoring the Bethany Baptist Church in St. Albans, West Virginia. And I called Glenn and I said, Glenn, could you use any help this summer at the church? And he said, well, I think we definitely could use some help. And he was pastoring a church by himself, and so he hired me for the summer. And so I that was my first real association with Glenn Matthews, as I worked with him as a summer intern for 2 summers. And of course, you know, got to know him well, and he got to know me well, and I to this day just think he's the best thing since sliced bread. But anyway, I went and took the church, to candidate for the church. And I preached Sunday morning, taught Sunday school, preached Sunday morning, and then preached Sunday night. The chairman of the deacons came to me and he said, do you know who used to pastor this church? And I said, no. He said, in 1954, I said, well, that was the year I was born. He said, yep. He said, in 1954, This little skinny black-headed kid came out of Tennessee Temple and pastored this church for 2 years. I said, well, who was that? He said, Glenn Matthews. I said, really? I said, I know Glenn well. He said, I know. That's where we got your name. We called Glenn to see if he knew of anybody we could get to come pastor the church, and he gave us your name. And I said, oh, well, I wondered how you got my name. He said, yeah. I said, Glenn gave it to us. And he came over and he put his arm around me and he said, I want you to know Glenn was my favorite pastor that we've ever had here. I said, yeah, he's my favorite pastor too. And then he said, and I'm going to really push for the church to vote you in as pastor, because so much of the way you preach reminds me of Glenn. And I said, So I went, I drove home, and we were driving down back to the house, and I was telling Karen what George had said. And I said, Do I remind you of Glenn? And she said, oh, honey, not even close. He's 10 times the preacher you are. I said, I don't mean like that. She said, well, there are some little things that you do that he does. I said, like what? She said, well, I've noticed that whenever you get in transition where you're going from one point to another, you will step back and you will sometimes put your hand. I don't do this anymore because I quit doing it after I don't want to be anybody. I just want to be me. When I was at Bob Jones, we'd have guys come in and preach chapel, you know, and some of them would do all these things, you know, and the preacher boys in homiletics class would copy the preachers that came in. It used to infuriate me. We had one guy stuck his thumb in his pocket like this, and them guys would get up in homiletics class and preach with their thumb in their pocket. I wanted to go up there and just, be yourself. One guy put his hand over his ears. Another guy get up and put his hand over his ears. Oh, please. She said, well, yeah, you know some things. She said, you'll put your hand up like this right underneath your, like you're thinking about something. And she said, why do you do that? I said, I don't know. Glenn does it. Because Glenn does it. She said, sometimes I've noticed when you can't find your place, you'll just back up and you'll just kind of fold your arms like this. And she said, Glenn does that all the time. Now, why did I do the things that Glenn did? Why did I do those things? I'll tell you why. Because I hung around him and I watched him and I just thought and thought and thought, that is what a preacher is like. I watched him preach. I watched him deliver his sermon. I didn't just listen to the words. It didn't just lodge up here in my mind. I dwelt upon it. I lived in it. And what's on the inside works its way out. And Christian, let me tell you something. If you'll just make up your mind, you're going to put this, let it go in here and dwell on it and meditate on it and study it and think on it until it becomes a part of your heart, until it becomes you. What's on the inside is eventually going to work its way out. And you will be Christ-like. When you get criticized, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. When you get attacked, you just be like Jesus and turn the other cheek. When you get hurt, and you will get hurt as you go through life, you'll find a peace that passeth understanding. Because you take what is God's word to man, and it's God's mind, and it becomes a part of you. It becomes a part of you. Folks, there is nothing wrong with most Christians. There's nothing wrong with all Christians that could not be fixed with the right kind of thinking. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'll bless this little thought to our hearts tonight. And Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit to give us understanding of what we've heard.
Lord, help us to think on these things. Help us to really concentrate as we read the Scriptures and not just fly through it for volume's sake. But Lord, that we might understand what is the mind of God. Lord, as we read the Scriptures, that we see how You think and how You want us to think. And then, Lord, may the Word of God become a real part of our daily activity and our daily thought processes. Lord, just give us understanding of the Scriptures tonight, and we'll thank You for it in Christ's name. Amen.